9:22. Such a somber day of prayer. Everyone crying over the Queen. I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform. But the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty. Yep, every network flooded with celebrations of life for Queen Elizabeth II, no longer here.
Why is Tony Fauci still running around free?
Why?
Instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere?
Well, because we're a communist society. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, September 9th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, yes, you already know what the big news of today is. Turn on Fox or any other network, and it's constant coverage of people sobbing and praying and celebrating the life of Queen Elizabeth II of the United Kingdom, who died yesterday after 70 years on the throne. That's the second longest verified reign of any monarch in history. For almost all Britons alive today, Elizabeth is the only monarch they've ever known. She was the last tangible link to the era of World War II and the great European empires that once ruled the globe. So, of course, there's been an outpouring of love for Elizabeth over the past 24 hours. It's nonstop. It's the constant news cycle. Nothing else matters. But does she deserve all of that? Well, first off, let's just say what's obvious about the country that she reigned over. It's absolutely indisputable that the Britain of today is worse off in every way than the country that she took over 70 years ago. Under Elizabeth's reign, abortion was legalized. Gay marriage, legalized. Gun rights, abolished. Christianity faded away or was outright suppressed. Globalization accelerated, and Britain spent four decades in submission to the European Union. Not to mention, Freemasonry and its byproducts completely flourished. Elizabeth's father, by the way, was Grand Master of the Scotland Grand Lodge. Did you know that? During Elizabeth's reign, Islamic terrorists terrorized the streets and Pakistani rape gangs prowled Britain's largest cities. More generally, the people of England, Scotland, and Wales were steadily replaced by a horde of immigrants from India and Africa and the Caribbean and Eastern Europe. Sound familiar? But I suppose we should be fair. Britain is a constitutional monarchy, so Elizabeth didn't have total control over those policies. But what she did have a major influence over was the conduct of the royal family itself. So let's take an honest look at that. Of Elizabeth's four children, three of them were divorced, typically because of flagrant infidelity by both parties. One of those children, by the way, was Prince Andrew. You've probably heard about him in the news. He's the royal who was great friends with both Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Prince Andrew brought those two and other sex predators like Harvey Weinstein right into the heart of the royal family. You can literally find photographs of Epstein and Maxwell seated in the exact same seat where the Queen was photographed at other times. Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre says that she was prostituted to Prince Andrew when she was just 17 years old, with Epstein paying her $15,000 to have sex with Prince Andrew. Andrew spent 3 days at Epstein's ranch in 2010 after he'd already been convicted as a sex trafficker. His excuse was that, oh, it was just convenient. But Queen Elizabeth never did anything to punish or restrain her son. In fact, according to all the gossip, Prince Andrew was widely regarded as the Queen's favorite among her four children. So when he was palling around with rapists and procurers, Elizabeth ran damage control. Another of Elizabeth's sons, the new King Charles III, was great friends with TV star Jimmy Savile. He would call him for public relations advice. Other members of the royal family would send him handwritten thank yous and Christmas cards. Fast forward to today, Savile is known as one of the worst child predators in history. All of this is Elizabeth's legacy, just as much as any speeches that she ever gave or any time that she spent as a British national symbol. She's a woman whose family was scandalous and whose country fell into terminal decline and decay while she nominally ruled it. And all of this is without even touching the unanswered questions about Princess Diana. Did she just die in an ordinary traffic crash? Or was she murdered, as so many people believe and have argued for decades? But even if that really was an accident, and even if all of the adjacency to child trafficking is inaccurate, which we don't believe that it is, Why exactly are Americans supposed to love her so much? You know, our forefathers fought and died in a revolution in order to not have a monarchy. They died for the principle that nobody is simply born to a high station in life just because. Our reputation and our fortunes should be based on what we ourselves do. And we should get to choose our own leaders. Not to say that we do here. Maybe Elizabeth II was a great constitutional monarch. Good for her. But there shouldn't be any constitutional monarchs, period. All of us should be equal citizens of our country, not subjects of a monarch or serfs. Edward Saul is a Stu Peters Network investigative reporter who's been looking deeper into the pedophilia-stained royal family, and he joins us now with more. Edward?
Stu, this legacy that's being left behind by the lying media and, of course, this family of corruption, pedophiles, Satanism, it's not a legacy I'm going to remember, pass on to my family. I thank God every moment that I left that country with my family. The reason Elizabeth is remembered in this manner, Stu, is because she is but another wing of this denomination of the devil throughout the world. The elite that have brought forth the Great Reset, the elite that have covered up sex crimes and gaslit the public into loving them, adoring them, idolizing them, while they abused the weakest among us. Now, Stu, you mentioned the Epstein scandal. I look to the very oath that Queen Elizabeth took in the 1950s. Because look, it wasn't just the American people that she abused through enabling Jeffrey Epstein, but it was also the British people that she let down. I was a British citizen. I grew up in England. I'm an American now, and I'm also a citizen of the kingdom of God, not under this sovereign. But listen, she betrayed God in her very oath. She said to God that she would uphold the gospel in England. She also said she wouldn't enable any blackmailing, any destruction of property, killing of civilians. She was supposed to look after the public. The war in the Middle East, the wars of terrorism, all the things that we've learned about, of course, many people don't know that one of the first perpetrators of this wasn't America with the petrodollar. It was the crown through the Al Yamaha weapons deal. Remember Mr. Khashoggi, the man who was brutally murdered in Istanbul? Well, it was his uncle, Adnan Khashoggi, working with the British royal family to sell all kinds of weapons to the Saudis. Now, of course, the Saudis, Jeffrey Epstein, every other pedophile, whether it be the BBC man Seville or Harvey Weinstein, the man who abused women in Hollywood, the thing they all have in common is that they followed a credo of sexual demonism. They wanted to rape the public like the elite have done for centuries. And as you noted, the best thing America did was revolt from the system. But then we let them back in. People will point at Queen Elizabeth, Stu, and say, well, it's not all her fault. Okay, well, what are we are to blame of the person who was at the head of this dysfunctional Adams family? One that left MI6 Christopher Steele, remember the agent that planted this evidence against President Trump? I can go down the list of all the sins of Queen Elizabeth, but I'll tell you this, I am not going to spend a day grieving the death of the queen of sin.
Hope she found Jesus. Edward Saul, great work. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless you. What we see before our eyes and the information that we have is inarguable and indisputable. It is physical evidence. Don't let them steal reality from you by gaslighting and brainwashing and indoctrinating and propagandizing you with this bought and paid for criminal mainstream press. And don't let them take your retirement. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. These are my good friends over here because they're helping thousands of Americans to protect everything that they've ever worked hard for with physical gold and silver. When they reset that financial system and set everybody back at zero, don't be a victim of the Grandmaster Plan, okay? Protect it. Gold and silver. Get up to $10,000 or more in free silver when you call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you call 855-706-GOLD. So we've told you about PatriotsBreakfastClub.com. This is the best cup of coffee America has to offer. It's high-end specialty coffee, always freshly ground. They don't just stick it on a shelf waiting for orders to come in. No, they roast it upon order. Who else can say that? Plus, you can support a great cause because a percentage of proceeds goes to helping wounded vets. Get a coffee subscription like I do and keep a steady monthly supply of some of the best coffee at a lower price than buying in a single bag. In my coffee subscription, I get some of these. How about the red, white, and brew? Great blend. Your friends will love it. Plus, it's a conversation piece. What about the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, the WTF blend? Just came for this month's subscription, and I absolutely love it. But nothing tops my favorite, and that is the Fresh Java Brew. Yes, the FJB. Go there right now, patriotsbreakfastclub.com. Use promo code STU10 for 10% off site-wide when you go to patriotsbreakfastclub.com. Welcome back. Well, this Sunday marks the 21st anniversary of 9/11. It's actually hard to believe that much time has passed. More time separates us from 9/11 than separates 9/11 from Ronald Reagan's election. But the attacks continue to fascinate millions, and people are still asking questions about the attacks themselves. Well, we wanted to speak with one of those people still investigating the attacks all these years later. Richard Gage is an architect from the San Francisco Bay Area with more than 30 years of experience. He's a member of the American Institute of Architects. He's also the founder and former CEO of the group Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He was well qualified to start such a group, as Richard's professional experience included substantial work, fireproofed steel frame buildings, exactly like the ones destroyed on 9/11. Richard and his wife, Gail, have led the charge for a renewed investigation into the destruction of all three World Trade Center buildings. He leads that fight from his website, richardgage911.org. He hosts also several video podcasts a month for his show, Richard Gage 9/11 Unleashed. He also participates in events like 9/11 Con and the 9/11 Truth Film Festival. And Richard joins us now. Sir, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. It's great to be here with you.
Of course. So let's start with Building 7. Lots of questions about how the evidence contradicts the official story. So in your expert opinion, what does the evidence point to? What happened to Building 7?
We're talking about a 47-story skyscraper, which is part of the World Trade Center complex. This building, in the afternoon of 9/11, 7 hours after the towers went down, after witnesses hear yet more explosions, this building drops like a rock straight down, uniformly, symmetrically, into its own footprint in under 7 seconds. Now, this is at free fall acceleration, as fast as a bowling ball falling out of the sky. It's absolutely incredible. Any of us would recognize it immediately, just like the old hotels in Las Vegas when they bring them down with controlled demolition. So this, just that alone, and I hope you have the opportunity to share with the audience the collapse of this tower, because it's incredible. So what do we find in the evidence? Well, first of all, what does the official story tell us about why this building collapsed 7 years after 9/11, when anybody who ever knew about this building's collapse, which is not very many people, they probably forgot about it. I'm one of 90,000 architects and engineers in the American Institute of Architects, and not one of us got one bulletin from the AIA about the third worst structural failure in modern history after the Twin Towers. This is incredible. It's not been played, the collapse of this building, even though there's 11 videos of it, on mainstream media whatsoever. The official the official narrative, if you will, from NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who was tasked by Congress to explain these collapses to the American people, said this building came down by normal office fires. Well, Stu, we've never lost a steel frame fire protected building ever in history due to office fires. And there's been dozens and dozens of much hotter, larger and longer lasting fires in these buildings. So what happened to it really? Well, what we find in the evidence is extremely hot temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit, about the melting point of steel. In fact, molten steel is found by the first responders flowing like lava from a volcano. They're just freaked out about this. OSHA and Bechtel and others document 2,800 degrees and more temperatures. In fact, FEMA, who did the first report in 2002, documented in their Appendix C a metallurgical examination with hot sulfur corrosion attack on the steel, liquid molten iron invading the grain boundaries of the steel. This is incredible. Silver dollar size holes, evaporation of the ends of the beams. This is very well documented. And yet NIST, when they took over the investigation, they threw this out. They threw out the hundreds of first responders talking about explosions at the towers and others at Building 7 before it came down. And so we have extreme hot temperatures. What does that mean? Well, this points to thermite. Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And that's exactly what we find also. The U.S. Geological Survey and all the dust samples throughout the World Trade Center, they find billions of previously molten iron microspheres, about the diameter of a human hair. Well, what does this mean? And we're talking about 4 tons of this material, which they document very carefully, but don't even speculate as to where they might come from. Well, thermite releases molten iron as its byproduct. This is what it does at 4,000 degree temperatures. So this is the only thing that can be account for the evidence that we see, not only the hot spots in Building 7 that are picked up by NASA thermal imaging flights, but also it accounts for the unignited residue of thermite. In particular, nanothermite in the form of red-gray chips found and documented by a team of 8 international scientists in Copenhagen. Niels Harrit, in particular, led this study. And what do they find in these red-gray chips? They thought they were paint, but they're attracted by a magnet. So they have a high iron content. They get real curious, do X-ray energy dispersive spectroscopy, and they find iron oxide and aluminum powders in the red layer of these red-gray chips. This is the ingredients of thermite. That's what thermite's made out of. They get real curious, zoom in 50,000 times with an electron microscope, and they find nanoparticles of iron oxide in rhomboidal-shaped crystals and aluminum platelets. This is nano-engineered thermite. They call it nanothermite in the peer-reviewed literature that was out before 9/11. So this documents that the unignited residue of thermite in all the World Trade samples that they studied. And so curiously, they put these in a heater, a differential scanning calorimeter, and what happens? They ignite at about 758 degrees Fahrenheit. And what do they produce? They produce molten iron microspheres with the same chemical signature as the molten iron microspheres found by the U.S. Geological Survey. So we know exactly where those came from. They came from these red-gray chips. It's extremely clear. It's a self-corroborating, repeatable set of experimental data that could be used to bring a lot of people to justice for the crime of the century, mass murder and treason.
So inarguably, thermite was present.
Absolutely. This is documented in a 24-page peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. It stands uncontested. It's called Unreacted Thermitic Materials in the World Trade Center Dust.
Is that peer-reviewed paper still there? Yeah. That research is still available and accessible?
It's online. It came out in 2009. NIST had every opportunity to review this, to review the dust, but they just cover the whole thing up. It is one big cover-up. The NIST report, the FEMA report, the government narrative, which tells us that in the case of the towers, the planes hit the towers and the fires that were started weakened the steel, and then the top part drives the rest of the towers down to the ground and then destroyed itself, which is ludicrous because it's like running a Mack truck into a Volkswagen saying the Volkswagen wins. Newton's third law of conservation of momentum says there's an equal and opposite destructive force. The upper part would have been destroyed and probably fallen off the towers.
What so other evidence was destroyed?
Huh?
What other evidence was destroyed?
Well, about 200,000 tons of structural steel was sent to China for recycling starting just 2 weeks after 9/11. And this, before forensic investigators could get do a real forensic investigation. Fortunately, though, they have 256 pieces of steel out of hundreds of thousands of pieces that were saved. And what do they show? The FEMA documented them as hot sulfur corrosion attack that we talked about. We also have the evidence of actually cool temperatures from the steel that NIST documented, even though they claim 1800 degree Fahrenheit temperatures in the fires. The actual steel that the first responders and many, many others, including the World Trade Center structural engineer himself, Leslie Robertson, says a river of steel flowing. So there's this huge contradiction between the fire temperatures, which were actually quite cool, and the incredible quantities of molten iron. But what the first responders are documenting, and I'm talking 156 of them, orally recorded through the work of Professor Graham McQueen, we now have an idea of what they were saying because he actually read these reports, which were hidden until 2005 when they came out. And what are they saying? Like a bomb, like all the way around the building, all these explosions. Some of them say like a train running under my feet. And they're talking about explosions before the tower collapses. I mean, the order of events is very specific. So we've got hundreds altogether of witnesses of explosions, including the day of 9/11, the reporters who are on the ground that morning, that day, local reporters, most of them, 36 out of 40, are talking about sounds of explosions, some of them experiencing explosions again before the towers collapse. And then this story is hijacked by the mainstream media, who came in and took over the story and declared it was a gravitational collapse or progressive collapse due to structural weakening due to the fires. So we now know, due to the great work of Graham McQueen and Ted Walter, which just came out yesterday, the incredible report, how the story got hijacked. It's really quite incredible. But we also have, at the beginning of this collapse, the liquefaction, if you will, of the structure of the Twin Towers above the point of jet plane impacts, because we can see dozens of explosions, particularly in the South Tower, while this part is telescoping in on itself. It's not driving the rest of the towers down to the ground whatsoever. We see dozens of explosions out of the side of the towers that we show in our documentary, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. So after that, we have freely flying, lateral ejected 4 and 8 ton structural steel sections at 80 miles an hour, clocked by physicists, landing 600 feet in every direction. So guess what? That steel is not even available to crush the rest of the building. And neither is the concrete. The concrete is pulverized in midair and distributed over a 3 square mile area. So it is in a powder, 3 inches thick, a blanket across lower Manhattan. So it's not available. That's 90,000 tons of concrete in each tower, completely unavailable to crush the tower. That's a third of the weight of the tower. The steel is another third of the weight of the tower. That's 2/3 of the weight of this tower minimum. That's not available to crush anything. And yet it has been projected by mathematician and structural engineer Zdenek Bazant of Chicago Northwestern University, who says that, the top part crushed the bottom part. Well, not only did he add the steel and the concrete in that calculation, but he multiplied it by about 3 times to ensure that his mathematical obfuscated paper was going to succeed in proving that the top part destroyed the lower part. It never could have whatsoever. It's complete fraud. It's been challenged by engineers, and the results of those challenges are outstanding still after years. Well, so
the press is obviously covering this up. The mainstream media, the legacy media, this liar who hypothesized that the top crushed the bottom in this research paper full of lies. The official narrative: Muslim extremist terrorists, Osama bin Laden, jet aircraft, surprise attack. Obviously, this program's not accepting any of that as the truth. You don't seem to be either. So what is the truth about 9/11, in your opinion? Expert opinion.
What the forensic evidence and eyewitness testimony reveals is that we have pre-placed incendiaries and, in the case of the Twin Towers, high-energy explosives to bring the towers down. The forensic evidence in the dust proves that in the form of ignited and unignited incendiaries. And so we have what is obviously, to most of us, an inside operation. It's highly unlikely that Al-Qaeda, for instance, could have penetrated three of the most highly defended buildings outside the Pentagon. So we're talking about an inside operation. What is the implication of highly placed individuals and operatives, rogue elements of our government and industry, who could have put all of this together, including the plane control of the planes, because that would not have been left up to hijackers who were extremely poorly trained by all accounts. And so we have a real problem in our society if not only this could be planned and executed, but covered up by the media, by the government, and not investigated adequately by the 9/11 Commission or our 535 congressional representatives. So you tell me, Stu, what's the big problem here? This is not my area of specialty. David Ray Griffin, who will be, he's written 14 books on this subject, will be highlighting his work because he's let us know in the 9/11 Truth Movement that he only has a few months to live. So at our film festival on September 11th, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific, we will be highlighting his work and the 21 points of consensus developed by the 9/11 Truth community, with about that many experts analyzing the evidence, showing not only at the Twin Towers, but what happened, what's most likely happened at the Pentagon, in Shanksville also. The official narrative of every part of these events stinks to high heaven. So how do you cover up something like that? You might implement about 20 drills for the Air Force, taking the jets away from the Northeastern Corridor in an exercise to not be able to defend on the morning of 9/11 our vital interests there. And also on the day of 9/11, instituting drills which put false blips of hijackings on the radar screens of the air traffic controllers so that they couldn't adequately respond to a hijacking. So this all together, and it's just the beginning, Stu. I mean, we only have a few minutes to discuss this, but the work of David Ray Griffin is exceptional. And that's why we're highlighting him. And we want everybody to know that we'll also be talking about the film that we're making. Excuse me.
No problem. So in your expert opinion, in your research findings, how much of this incendiary material would have had to have been present in these buildings to bring them down? And how would that have been transported and planted into these buildings without anybody taking any notice to this?
Well, somebody would have taken notice. A security company would have taken notice. Certainly won an investigation of Securicom Stratasec, who had the security contract up until, interestingly, the day of 9/11. We also have the largest modern elevator modernization in history going on the 9 months prior to 9/11. ACE Elevator had this contract. They fled when the planes hit the towers, 85 employees. It was quite a scandal documented in USA Today. So they must have known something. They came out of nowhere, by the way, this particular company, to get this contract from Otis Elevator. So we want an investigation of ACE Elevator as well. So there are certainly people that would and did notice. Do we have inside whistleblowers? There are a few. There are union engineers that saw very curious people, and they were told not to document their comings and goings in the weeks prior to 9/11. We have examples of that. We have firefighters who are coming out demanding a new investigation, the Firefighters for 9/11 Truth organization. We have pilots for 9/11 Truth, which we call 9/11 Pilot Whistleblowers, the organization that talks about the flights. There are a lawyers committee for 9/11 Inquiry, with whom I'm partnered to create a film documenting the documenting the 60 exhibits of all this evidence that we're talking about today in great detail, provided to the U.S. attorney in Manhattan to be given to a special grand jury, which still, after a couple of years, remains in play. But this film that we're making, which is the largest embodiment of the technical and forensic evidence at the World Trade Center, will be given directly, like I'm looking into you, along with our experts, into the eyes of the grand jurors, because it'll be submitted as a supplement to the grand jury petition. And Mick Harrison, the litigation director for 9/11 Inquiry, and I, he will be featured, and I will be with him as he instructs the jury. What are their opportunities? Who might they call as material witnesses? Who might they subpoena to get a real investigation into this? So this is an opportunity, and we hope to take it all the way to the Supreme Court, this case, because it's unfolding in an unfavorable way at the moment. So we're going to be pulling all the guns out legally to make sure that the American people get justice, the family members get justice. And that's why my wife and I, Gail, are my assistant, who are working full time and more as hard as we can with our podcasts and 75 experts in these fields. Every week we put out a podcast or two, and we also are traveling all around the country now with an increasing focus on the current false flag operation, which is what 9/11 was. And now we have COVID and the horrible solution to this problem. So I'm working with the parallels of 9/11 and COVID given to us by Kevin Ryan to speak around the country on this subject. For instance, Dr. Rashid Batar, who you know, we've presented at his advanced medicine conference. G. Edward Griffin brought us to the Red Pill Expo. And now we have a two-hour presentation on this subject at the Pulse with Joe Martino. And Dr. Madhav Asetti and I go punch, counterpunch, all the way through parallels of 9/11 and COVID. We're talking about foreknowledge, abuse of science. We're talking about a solution far greater than the original problem. It's operative in both of these, a control of the narrative, a shifting narrative. We have there's several other parallels.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of the parallels. I mean, look at COVID. I mean, the criminals' own words, Ralph Barrick, mm-hmm. EcoHealth Alliance. I mean, they telegraphed exactly what they were doing here. The patents show pre-planning. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of evidence to suggest that this fake pandemic was, for example, calling it a novel coronavirus. the unknown, the fear of the unknown. So we have, you know, some usual suspects, a list there on COVID. I'm interested to hear your theories on 9/11. Who really carried out this attack and who knew about it?
Well, we have to do things that are done in criminal investigations, like follow the money. And the money leads to the perpetrators. It's inevitable. It's a windy path, but it is followed up by James Corbett of the Corbett Report, who documented in his 9/11 Trillions, follow the money. And he certainly points to the bankers. Even the 9/11 Commission report helped us to understand what happened with regard to the put options with suspicious benefits by highly placed people, one of Kevin Ryan's parallels also, wherein the 9/11 Commission determined that there was indeed a very unusual insider trading. And they said, But it wasn't insider because it didn't lead to the footsteps of Al-Qaeda. Well, where did it lead? It certainly led to bankers like the Deutsche Bank and Alan Dulles and others, but that wasn't discussed, no, in the 9/11 Commission report. We certainly have control of the situation by the most highly placed individuals like Cheney and Rumsfeld. And I'm excluding Bush from that list. Now, these are neocons who established their goal in the Project for a New American Century, a neocon think tank, of establishing regional hegemony in the Middle East, of a vast increase in the Pentagon budget. But they said a year before 9/11, absent a catalyzing and catastrophic event like a new Pearl Harbor, these goals will be take an awfully long time.
What do you make of the dancing Israelis? You know, this program covered the USS Liberty and the Israeli attack on that vessel, well documented by survivors of the USS Liberty, big cover up, Lyndon B. Johnson, all of that. Israel, by all intents and purposes, I mean, there's just no denying that they carried out that attack. Do you think Israel was involved in the 9/11 attack?
Well, I don't know, but there are researchers that certainly have uncovered a wealth of evidence to suggest that. Christopher Boleyn is one of them in his book, Solving 9/11. There are many others like Lauren Guyano, who was recently, I mean, in the last week, published a documentary on the subject. So I yield to that wisdom try to avoid speculating myself.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that your expertise is much appreciated. I wish we had hours to sit down with one another. I'm going to be frequenting your website. I think everybody else should as well. RichardGage911.org. RichardGage911.org. Will you come back for more of an extended talk someday where we can maybe air some sort of a special outside of the regularly scheduled program? I've already gone way over time here, but we're going to just blow through a commercial break here. Would you be willing to do that and come back and talk to us some more?
You bet. I've got 2 hours of this material. It's just a pain to skate over it like we had to today.
I know. I understand. Look, with a platform of this size and with the legacy media, the criminal corrupt press completely ignoring all of this, we think that it's important that we renew the attention, especially given the timing with Sunday being the 21st anniversary. There are thousands of people that lost their lives, young men who were just in diapers when these towers came down, had no idea why they were fighting there in this calamity in Afghanistan, enriching and empowering the military-industrial complex and those in the D.C. Beltway who were the only people that benefited from anything that happened. While we taught Pashtun tribesmen the importance of transgenderism and stood down while warlords committed sex crimes against minors. That's about all that was accomplished during that. Richard Gage, for your time, we thank you very much and for all of your research. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Stu.
Of course, anytime. I'm really looking forward to that sit down. 2 hours with Richard Gage. This platform will dedicate its full reach and full resources to broadcasting any evidence and truth that might help us lead to what actually happened on 9/11 21 years ago this Sunday. Got to catch up here and tell you about my great friends over at Newtopia. Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. That's where you can get a custom box just like this. A box of nootropics brain supplements helping you to get focused, have more drive, more creativity, more clarity. Look, they're spilling out of the box here. You got brain flow here. You've got the Nectar X right here, the Apex, the Zamner Juice. All of these things do different things. Do your own research. I always encourage you to do that. Fill out the personal questionnaire about how you process information. Learn a lot about yourself and try them. Seriously, try these, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel the difference. 100% guaranteed. Go to Newtopia.com/Stu Peters to do the research, fill out the questionnaire, and order your own custom brain supplements. Newtopia.com/Stu Peters.
The boosters are killing millions.
Shut up, vaccine.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID, but I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme.
But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning, America!
Temple, that's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
Well, on June 17th, the FDA approved the dangerous and deadly COVID bioweapon injection for kids as young as 6 months. Well, now the CDC is quietly publishing reports about adverse events and systemic side effects. We think it's important that you know about these numbers. And to that end, our Stu Peters Network medical contributor, Dr. Jane Ruby, joins us now. So what do these numbers actually tell us about how these shots, these jabs, this bioweapon is affecting God's greatest gift, our kids?
Stu, from about June 18th through August 31st, and as you mentioned, it was approved on the 17th, telling you that there's data from June 18th means that there were a ton of parents that blew in the next day to get this for their babies. But this time period from June 18th to almost August 31st, we now know about 1 million doses of Moderna and Pfizer combined, about 50-50, were administered to children, babies and toddlers, 6 months old to under five. So in this review, this sort of first top line review of the VAERS data on the children in this age group, the CDC has about 496 reports that are visible, right, of adverse events for kids in this age group who received Pfizer shot, and about 521 for children who got the Moderna shot with an adverse event, right? And the majority of these seem to be reported by health care professionals. What they're showing is about 98% of the reports were for what the CDC calls non-serious events. But before we get to that, let me just tell you this other thing. There are 220 reports of people, babies, 5 months to 5 years, being taken to emergency rooms following one of these bioweapon injections. In one case that I want to highlight, and I'm going to talk about it more in detail on the Dr. Jane Ruby show right after yours here, is involving a 2-year-old boy in Arizona. This report, I can tell, Stu, by the language, appears to have been filed by a medical professional. He was given the shot, the first dose of Pfizer on July 29th, and the very next day, on July 30th, he had what was reported in the verbal section of the VAERS report as a, quote, life-threatening episode. You look at the individual things that this person checked off: difficulty breathing, turning blue, cyanotic, had to be revived, needed chest compressions. And he was revived, thank God, after a few minutes of chest compressions. So he went out, Stu. But this was characterized. And in the final report, this is how dirty the CDC is. It was ultimately characterized as a non-serious event. I mean, they'll just lie right into your face.
So the percentages that you're giving of serious events versus non-serious events is skewed. And we know that with absolute certainty right now because of this story exactly. So your 2-year-old basically checks out of life, takes his or her last breath, has to be revived with chest compressions, which probably all of this child's ribs are broken if it was done correctly, I believe. I don't know if I think it's different for children. You know, look, I'm not a medical professional, but I'm just saying it's a very serious event. This is the child
very
was
serious.
Dead.
So he stopped breathing.
The child was dead and had to be brought back. I mean, that's pretty serious. So for the CDC to characterize this as a non-serious event, we now know that any other of these non-serious events likely were very serious.
Of course. If your child just, you know, was a little fussy, had a little fever, people aren't going to, the majority of parents, you know, if they're experienced, maybe they may not run them into an emergency room. But these children had difficulty breathing. When you read into the narrative, that's what you want to look at. What is the description of the event, not just the check boxes at the top, because the CDC is manipulating those check boxes so that people won't look below that. But when you look into the narrative, you clearly see nasal, you know, the narrative berries, flaring, difficulty breathing, screaming, you know, turning blue. And then eventually when you don't get any oxygen, your heart stops, right? The heart and lungs are really one system, Stu. It's almost like it's one organ. And that's what happened to this little baby. And I hope his parents learned a damned lesson that day, Stu, and they won't bring him for the second shot.
Well, I hope the millions of people that'll view this broadcast are going to learn a damn lesson right now based on the experience of others. Look, there's three types of people in this world. There's the dumb people that don't learn from their mistakes. There's the smart people that do learn from their mistakes. And there's the wise people who learn from other people's mistakes. I'm not alarmed by any of these numbers for sure, because we knew exactly what was going
surprised.
To happen.
Right.
But hopefully this is an eye opener for a whole lot of people. Keep your kids, keep everybody, you yourself, your entire family, your friends, your neighbors, your church congregation, the school teachers, the lady at the grocery store informed about what these bioweapon shots are doing. Every single person that you come across, you should be telling them. You should be telling them what
Absolutely.
This does. And every single shot on the planet should be incinerated immediately.
Absolutely. And Stu, one other warning. Remember, the FDA just approved a 2 mRNA gene-changing bioweapon injection on a failed study with 8 rats. And that came out on Labor Day weekend. So please don't take your babies and children. Please, everybody, do not take this.
Speaking of warnings, there have been warnings coming for the last, 60 days regarding this monkeypox deal. And there was a White House press briefing. Apparently, there's a new monkeypox czar that you wanted to talk about and introduce to the Stu crew.
Yeah, I mean, this White House just gets more bizarre every day. I mean, you have military people in dresses with nylon stockings. You have administration employees. I'm sorry, but I just, a man in a dress is still a man in a dress. There it is. I said it. Now you have a monkeypox czar for the White House, was officially announced by the Biden administration / regime. This guy named Dimitri Deslakakis, and he is now the monkeypox. He's also, by the way, Stu, he came out of the NIH. He was an advisor and had a big position on advising the NIH of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, put a picture of this guy up here. Look at this. This guy, this is on a magazine cover of some sort. And look at him. I mean, this guy is an absolute freak show. That's what everybody in this fake government is right now, is a complete freak show. Look at this guy. He's wearing some bondage outfit. This guy, I'm sure, loves to touch kids. And look at this. Here's part of this briefing. Check this out.
Very close skin-to-skin physical contact, often in the setting of...
Very close skin-to-skin contact.
Very close skin-to-skin physical contact, often in the setting of sexual exposure. But there are other mechanisms for its transmission, including... if you touch objects that individuals who've had monkeypox touch, or if you have prolonged exposure to respiratory droplets. With that said, signaling to people who are in the gay, bisexual, other men who have sex with men communities, and also transgender people who have sex with men, that it's really important to have awareness that it's circulating in the community is really a critical part of the messaging, while not generating inordinate concern and really focusing on the infection as linked to an identity.
Wow. This guy is allegedly in the White House. I mean, I don't know that anybody's really in the White House. Everything is a freaking movie. Everything is fake. The whole damn thing is a corporate government crime syndicate. We don't have a government representative of the people. But this gets more and more ridiculous every single day. As you mentioned, we have military officials. And I'm using, for those of you listening on the radio, I'm using heavy air quotes when I say official. Military officials dressed in drag. And now this creep freak show that clearly, I mean, this guy, if given the opportunity to touch a little boy, my money is absolutely he would. I would put my entire year salary on that. Absolutely.
Stu, I think this guy is in position like this to attempt to normalize this freak show, this disgusting freak behavior. This is just reprehensible. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, absolutely. And normal it is not. You're still a dude, bro. Period. Dr. Jane Ruby, a medical contributor here at the Stu Peters Network. Make sure that you tune in to the Dr. Jane Ruby show immediately following this for more details on how this jab is killing our kids. Dr. Jane, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
You bet, Stu. Thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, look into this guy, this Dimitri, whatever his freaking name is. He is a self-proclaimed Satanist practitioner, like an open Satanist. That's what's happening in this country, in this movie. A fudge-packing Satanist. Allegedly in the White House, at a press conference, talking to the nation, normalizing Satanism and pedophilia and Hershey Highway off-roading. Unbelievable. It's like you almost have to laugh a little bit. Pain is not laughable, which is why you should do away with that, because we like happiness and we like joy and we like laughter. But you know what? If you have that pain, ligament pain, joint pain, muscle pain, migraine, headaches, maybe allergies, a child with ADHD, a significant diagnosis like Parkinson's, it is my recommendation to you that you check out curable.com. K-U-R-I-B-L.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. This is the CBD company. I'm dropping this all over the place. Here's the dry spray. So if you don't like that, you know, that feeling of lotion or cream on you, if you don't want to get your shirt all, yeah. So dry spray, they've got the dry rollers available, the cooling roll-on CBD. This is CBD where the hemp is all grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. I know personally the family. We've had the family on here. It's a family-owned business. I know one of the executives over there as well. I actually coach baseball with him, and this is how it came to me, because I had shoulder pain and I was complaining and bitching and moaning at this baseball practice about my pain. Tried some of this, bing, immediately went away. I was having a hard time working out, no longer, because of Curable. KURIBL.com. Make sure that you get there right now. Use promo code STU, by the way, for 20% off site-wide on all of their products. Promo code STU when you go to curable.com. Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com. Welcome back. We've been talking to you a lot lately about the importance of having the right types and the appropriate amounts of magnesium in your body. It's a lifesaver. Nobody better to talk about this than Wade Lightheart. He's one of the world's premier authorities on natural nutrition and training methods, and he joins us now. Wade, thanks a lot for being here. So we've had comments on our channel about how people have tried magnesium breakthrough and that it actually saved their lives. This is real.
It is real. Essential minerals are an aspect of how our DNA works, how all our body's functions work. And magnesium is the most efficient mineral in North American diets specifically. And it's involved in over 300 different processes in the body. So there's so many different things that it creates and advantages, as well as our exposure to EMF today, electromagnetic pollution, causes us to deplete magnesium even more. So it's a double drain on that. And what happens is people can't sleep well, they get muscle cramping, they get that insomnia, they get anxiety things, PMS issues, all these type of things. And they're finding relief when they start adding a high quality magnesium in their diet, like Magnesium Breakthrough.
Well, I just tell you what, it makes me so happy to know that we're able to introduce this to people. By the way, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters, go there and do the research. We encourage people to do the research on their own. And I think when I went there, I'm like, wow, this is incredibly important. And then just outside of magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters, researching magnesium in general, I had no idea. 75% of Americans deal with this deficiency. That's really dangerous. This will put people in an early grave.
It certainly makes life very difficult, and particularly around heart relaxation. So magnesium is the relaxation mineral. And people who have heart arrhythmias, you know how it's going on in the world today?
Yeah, of course, yes.
Anxiety, stress, yep. These type of things, they're precursors to very big complications coming down the road. So magnesium is a way to bridge the gap before you get into something more serious.
Okay, so people that are training in the gym, benefit to them as well. Athletes, people use magnesium that are professional athletes. They understand the importance of this. So the everyday citizen dealing with stress and anxiety, who's not dealing with that? Sleepless nights take a toll on, you know, your entire body. I mean, low mood, depression, these types of things can be combated with magnesium. Make sure that you go there, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Wade Lightheart, we appreciate you being here. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Of course. And so, you know, we're out of time here for the day. These things just seem to just absolutely fly by. But we will be back on Monday. Make sure, stupeters.com/subscribe. You go there so that you can check out all of the premium content for premium users. Be a part of the Stu crew. Until Monday at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come to the car, and when they do, save the radio!
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.